Let's sing together 387. Shall we? If you are still coming in. 387. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Mark Brown. All together, page 387. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All the joys are but a name, but His love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. For the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. Sing the third verse. I know some are just coming in, but I would like this morning, I know we have quite a few here who have been following the Lord for a long time. How many people here have been following the Lord longer than 5 years? Okay. 10? 15? Getting close. Because you're not that old yet, I know. 20. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, my hand goes down. Good. All right. We won't go any farther than that. How's that? All right. We'll stop. You get nervous, weren't you? Because I know we don't have anyone here who's older than, what, 29? But you know what I would be very interested in hearing? I don't know if you want to share, but I was going to propose to you this song, Take the World, But Give Me Jesus. That's quite a statement, isn't it? You know, you can sing that very quickly, very glibly. I know it's early. We just started. We just had a nice breakfast. It was a little chilly last night. Brains are maybe the workings, the machinery is still a little frosted. But you know, I was wondering if a few who perhaps have been serving the Lord for a long time, now it doesn't have to be 40 years, but this, you can say that this is true. Take the world, but give me Jesus. And I was wondering, why? Why? Why is it that this has become a reality in your life? Now, I'm not saying we do it all perfectly, and that doesn't mean that you are, you know, super saint, you have all of the answers, but, you know, there comes that point in time where, you know, you've decided, like Joshua, you know, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, my family, we're going to serve the Lord. It's for me and my house. Notice it starts as for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. And I was wondering if there would be one or two who would share with us, or maybe all. It doesn't have to be long. Could be just one sentence. What is it that brought you to that decision where you can sing that song and it is true for you? I hope it's true. Take the world. You can keep the world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. That is the motto of my life. And I was wondering if there would be a few who would like to share a thought or so on that. Oh, good. We have some. Excellent. Hold that thought. Because we're going to sing the third verse. I was going to give you a second to think, and then we're going to open the floor. And I would really love to hear. I would love to hear, and perhaps some of our young folks and those who have been serving the Lord for not as long would like to hear this as well. So let's sing that third verse, Brother Paul, and we'll give you a chance to think. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let me view His constant smile. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while.
first cover.
Yes, our good friend. And if you want to tell us your name, I would appreciate that too, so I know who you are.
Well, I'm Ruth Stewart. I'm Wally and Ursula's and Marianne's sister, and I live in Vermont. And my experience with that goes way back to 1945, when my family had to flee from East Prussia. And my parents were believers, very strong believers. My dad was a lay preacher in the Pentecostal church. And we left everything we owned behind except each other and the Lord. And more than once, we found that God was our sufficiency. We always saw to it that we had enough to eat. We always had one piece of clothing on. And we never lacked anything because we had Him. And then beyond that, now that I'm finally grown up, I have found Christ to be my sufficiency in many a trial. But He's always seen me through. So I can truly say with a full heart, give me Christ.
Yes.
I don't want the world.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Well, I found the Lord when I was 16 years old, and now I'm 92. It's a long time, but I'm happy to say that Jesus never failed. He was with me all the while. I came to this country when I was... We were married, my husband, but I was only 18 years old, and it was during the Depression, but the Lord never disappointed us, and I'm thankful today that I can say, Jesus led me all the way, and it's wonderful to serve Jesus. I wouldn't have it any other way. I want to love and follow Jesus until I close my eyes.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I was also 16 when I found the Lord, but I'm only 72, so I've got a ways to go, hopefully. But they were singing that song when I received a baptism, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. And I'm so happy that I found the Lord. I, believe it or not, I was a cross-country runner. In fact, I was quite good. I before my 17th birthday, I was ninth in the state of Ohio. But the Lord asked me to give it up, to go to Bible school. And I'm so glad I did. I don't regret it because it's been worth it. I have a wonderful family and the Lord's been so good. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy, but it's been wonderful. And I'm so happy today that I know the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I can't stand up very well.
That's all right.
But I'm going to thank the Lord for 69 years of being saved. I was saved when I was 5 years old at my mother's knee. She tells me every time I did something wrong, I would hide behind a chair and ask Jesus to save me again. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
And I was so thankful for what Jesus did for me. I'm so thankful for His wonderful love. I have not always been true to the Lord, no. But He's always been true to me, and I'm so thankful for that. Yeah. Every time I came back to Jesus, He would love me. I was a Christian, yes, but I wasn't always serving the Lord the way I should. But I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for Him as my Redeemer, as my healer. He's healed my body so many times, and I'm so thankful for that. Amen.
Amen.
I just thought of something real simple, and my wife can tell you that I'm very far from perfection. But when I was in college, something that the Lord helped me think about was I used to have a pretty large CD collection. Now those are even going out of style. And I realized that a large portion of that was not pleasing to God. Not all of it was bad, but it wasn't music that I would listen to with Jesus sitting next to me. And I, like I said, I'm still drawn back at times to things, but it freed me up to think of the Lord and not be as distracted. Yeah. And I just want to encourage the young people here that there are so many distractions. I see as a school teacher, I don't know how you're going to do it. But you can only do it with God.
That's what he
means. So,
sorry, I get choked up.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I would, I'm so glad that I have the Lord. And you know, it's not your talents. It's not your education. It's not your great job or your money or your degrees that you work hard for, and there's nothing wrong with that. But in the end, it's a lot of emptiness. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have Jesus filling that void, when you go through trials, physical trials or family trials or whatever, you have nothing unless you have Him.
Amen.
So it's not what you attain to, it's what He does in you. So it took me a long time to learn that.
I'm still learning.
I was born again when I was 12, and I have a twin sister, Marianne, but I have a triplet, Ursula. Well, all three of us gave our hearts to the Lord the same night at family devotions. And I'm so glad that Jesus has been my friend and my constant companion. And I remember a time when I was sick and I wasn't able to go to church for some reason. I don't even remember why. But it was several weeks that I couldn't be there. And the first time I went back into the church, the scripture came to me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that became so real to me. I didn't realize how much I needed the fellowship of the body of Christ and the privilege of going into His house. And I mean, we can sense His presence, of course, wherever we go. But going into His house and fellowshipping and worshiping Him together with those of like precious faith. And I was so grateful that I was able to go back into the house of the Lord. And you know, there's no joy other than serving Jesus.
Amen.
And I don't want to put a negative on this, but if I look at any person, I can say my sister Marianne said, take the world, but give me Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
She was a true example of what it means to be totally sold out to Jesus. And I see so many times I feel fall short. But I am encouraged by the way she lived and the testimony and the far-reaching effects of her life because she put Jesus first and she sold out to Jesus. And I want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus.
Amen. Amen. I don't know when I got saved. I really don't. We were Lutherans. We go to Lutheran church in the morning, and we go to Ridgewood Pentecost Church and Sunday school at night. I do remember that my brothers and I approached my parents and said, pick one or the other. So they switched over to the Pentecostal church. We thought we'd get Sunday morning free. Then they started taking us to German service. So we go German service, Sunday school, and then the night. It didn't get any better as I got old. And then it was German service, Sunday school, sing at the hospital, sing in the choir, Sunday night service, get home by 11 o'clock. So you guys got it easy today, I tell you. A lot of churches do away with Sunday night, but in the good old, you know, Paul, remember those good old days? Sunday was church from morning to night. But I went really... sort of struck me this morning was the fact when I graduated from high school in 1959, I was making $100 a week. A Corvette cost $3,000. So that, and I had $3,000 saved up for a Corvette. I was working on my father to sign for, because I was only 19, you know, I would get to be 21, and I was working on him to sign for that. And God had put a call on my life, but you know, like Sister kind of said, you know, I wasn't always living the way I should live. And then God began to deal with me about going to Bible school and preparing for the ministry. And I remember sharing it with some friends of ours, and they said, well, are you crazy? You got a great job. You know, you're making big money. You got it made. And it was a battle. But I knew that God had called me, and I knew that God
I knew what his plan, his will was anyway for me to do. I knew it was so clear to me. And I gave it up. And, you know, sometimes you think, well, what if I would have done this, what I've done that? I'm sure that my accent would still be more Brooklyn than what it is. It's New Jersey now. You think about your life, and I'm thankful that God was able to speak to my, because that was a big thing, giving up a Corvette. How many guys want to have a Corvette? To me, that was one of the big sacrifices of life. And I've always wanted to get another one, but my wife won't let me. But I'm thankful that God was able to get a hold of my heart. And the other point, too, that money basically helped pay for my college, you know, so the Lord had it all worked out. And when you see that, you know, how God, if you give something up, God always gives you something better.
Amen.
I'm so glad that I found the Lord when I was 11. I'm a year younger than she is. But I have a gray hair. But I could be a blonde. But I just thank the Lord. Yesterday we were sitting in the library. Pat was playing the piano, and we were singing some of the songs. And Wally mentioned a song. She says, one of my favorite songs. And she said, you can sing that at my funeral. Is, hey, friends all around me are seeking to find what the heart yearns for, but sin undermines. I have a secret. I know where it's found. Only in Jesus true pleasure abounds. And I said, you know, that was one of my favorite songs. When I was in college, I had to work my way through college, you know, being a poor immigrant. We didn't have like Ruth said, we left everything back in East Prussia. So I had to work my way through college, and I worked for a professor. I didn't have a nice cushy job. I cleaned their house and ironed his shirts. One day I ironed and another day I cleaned. And I remember being in that house, and they were very nice to me. And I used to sing that song, Friends All Around Me, because they became my friends. But they didn't know what they were missing. They didn't have Jesus. And I remember singing that while nobody was in the house and I was busy cleaning. I'd sing, you know, friends all around me are seeking to find. And I'd say, you know, Wally, that's one of my favorite songs also. And I have found Jesus to be faithful to me. Not that I've always been faithful. There, you know, you go through those times when the old nature wants to rise up and you want to do what you want to do. But I'm thankful the Lord knew the desire of my heart, and he never let me go. He always brought me back to himself, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that the love of God is so strong that he will not let you go. He sees those desires. He knows that we are but dust. We're frail, humanity. And he sees that we may make mistakes, but he will draw us. And I'm so thankful for that. And I cannot think of anything I would want rather than Jesus, because I think of that song, where could I go? Where could I go? Needing a refuge for my soul. Where else can you go? The world doesn't have anything to offer you. They think they do, but then they're empty and dry. I remember in college, some of the girls would go out drinking, and this one girl especially, I lived in a co-op house, and she'd come home and she'd go to her room, and all night long she'd cry. And I said, what pleasure is there in that? Why would she want to go drink and come home and weep all night? Another girl came home and collapsed in the front foyer because she was so drunk, or they'd be throwing up. You know, they have nothing, nothing. Why on earth would I want to be like them? When I had Jesus and he gave me peace. And he gave me joy. And I could go through life having that fellowship with him. So I would never want to have anything take the place of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no one, nothing, not even $1 million. Money is nothing. You can have all the money in the world. How many people are miserable? They're rich, but they're miserable. But then you've got some people who are paupers, and they're joyful and happy. I think of my mother-in-law. I don't think she was ever wealthy. Grandma Smith. Some of you may know her.
Well, Grandma Smith, she'd get a little bit of money, and out of that little bit of money she'd get, she was giving to others. And I'd say, Grandma, hang on to it. You need it. Don't give it away. Oh, come on, let me treat you for dinner. let me pay for dinner. Let me take you out. It gave her such joy because she loved Jesus. Nothing, absolutely nothing could take the place of Jesus in her life. And I saw that in her.
Amen.
When I was, first time I got sick with cancer, Grandma was 78 years old. She came down to New Jersey and took care of me with joy. She washed, she cleaned, she cooked. One time I said, Grandma, I'm going to make supper tonight. And she said, what, are you mad at me? I mean, there was a vessel so given to God, such an example of nothing mattered. And you know, you could never do anything wrong in Grandma's eyes. Not that she wouldn't say what you did was wrong, but she loved you. She loved you. And I was only a daughter-in-law, but boy, if you ever said anything against me, she'd fight you tooth and nail. She stuck up for me. And that's the way she was. She stuck up for people. She loved people. She was happy. She didn't need anything from this world because she had Jesus. And I have such great examples in my life. And I want to be like that. I want just Jesus. There's nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing that satisfies but Jesus alone.
Amen. Listening, there's definitely been a common theme that has run throughout most of these testimonies. And it's that there's a choice. There's a choice on one hand of that which is empty, is a vapor, purports to provide satisfaction, meaning, pleasure, importance, fame, whatever you want to call it, but ultimately lets you down. Versus the other hand, that which is eternal. Things that are, that was a word I thought of too from the beginning, that which truly satisfies. I'm not going to go into my story, many of you know it, but I had the opportunity to enjoy much of what the world offers. Not the bad stuff, the good stuff. Things that even many Christians look at and go, ooh, that looks pretty good. But you know, there comes a point in time where we have to make a decision. Which way we're going to go. And the thing that I did want to stress that I know we've heard is that, you know, we think often that, you know, we have to give up. We have to give things up. We have to leave this behind. We have to not have that. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We're going to study in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about Daniel, and you're going to see how this all fits together. But let me tell you something. You don't give up anything but that Jesus gives you back. I don't know how many times over. You pick a number. I can't pick. I'm telling you, you know, a lot of my stories surrounds sports and football. And let me tell you something. In walking away from one area, the Lord gave me back so much more. So much more. And it's interesting because even in that area, even in the area of sports and football and things that still I love to this very day. I still like a good football game. The world is about to start up again because football season starts pretty soon. You know, we can come out of hibernation, can't we, Brother John? And we can get happy once again. The world will be all right. But you know, the Lord just gives you back and back. And I want you to understand that, especially our young folks and those who haven't perhaps been serving the Lord a long time. You never give up anything or you never follow Jesus. He doesn't always ask you to give something up either. But what he does give is what will last and what will truly make you happy. And we'll talk more about that in just a little while. Thank you so much for those testimonies and feel free in these services. I know in our church we do, and I know camp, it's always been the practice to have time for testimonies. It's never wrong to stand up and give thanks to the Lord or word of exhortation, and certainly as staff, I know you guys are encouraged to testify, and so don't be shy. All right, I'm not like one of those guys that does one of this. You. But I could be. I am a teacher, so. So feel free. Thank you so much. Those were a real blessing, and I trust an encouragement to each one of us. Let's sing. Before we open our Bibles, let's sing the last verse of page 387. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross, my trust shall be. Together, shall we? Father, as we've gathered together in your house, as we've sung the song and heard these marvelous testimonies, we pray that you will make this testimony of that, what this song says, take the world, but give me Jesus. We pray that it will become a greater reality in each one of our lives. May it not just be a song that we've sung to take up some time or to introduce a thought, but we pray that it will be real. Lord, we want those things that last, those things that are eternal. And we feel like Peter when he said, Lord, to whom else can we turn? You have the words of eternal life. And so, Lord, we pray that you will put that into each one of our souls to run harder after Jesus, after those things that matter, after those crowns, after those rewards which cannot be tarnished, cannot be destroyed by moth or rust, but will last forever, that we might hear from you, well done, good and faithful servant. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.